We've been studying in our spring thing about our belief system. And we are studying about three different behaviors and three beatitudes. The behaviors are things we do. The beatitudes are the heart and the agenda and the frame of reference that will inform and fuel our three behaviors. Let's go over them again. Bless means to be loving everywhere so someone sees. It's about being salt and about being light. It's about making the world a better place by how we smile and open the doors and buy people Starbucks and just genuinely be nice. Jesus says to do those things so that when people see them, they will praise the Father because of those things. That is what we do. We should live this way always, everywhere we go, blessed. And then we're going to do that a little more with eating. And that is extending attention. It's two forms. One is it's a gift. We're extending our focus and our attention on someone. The second thing is we're extending the time. It's not longer just a high five in the hallway, but it's a, hey, let's sit down and have a meal together. I want to get to know you. Tell me more about yourself. It's an engagement. It goes way back in history. A meal is a place where we're all vulnerable because we're all hungry and we're all equal. Jesus set the Lord's Supper around a table for that very reason, because we're all equal when it comes to that. It's a very special way that Jesus has set up. And the Bible makes it very clear. He came to seek and to save the lost. But guess what? Jesus came eating and drinking. And it's a core part of who we are. So we're going to be loving everywhere so someone sees. We're going to extend that attention. And our third behavior is to listen. And this is leaning in strategically to explore nuance. It's listening by focusing on what people are saying. When they say to you, hey, I feel or I know or I am, what are the words behind the words? Because it's not enough just to be kind and then to sit around and give someone more attention. But we need to lean in and understand where are they coming from. These three behaviors can change the world. It is incredible. If you look at the story of Jesus and the way he did all three of these consistently in the Gospels, it is what we are called to do. The two phrases that make it easy to listen is, what has that like been? What has that been like for you? And once people stop talking, you say what? Tell me more. Pretty simple, right? These are practical things that we can do. All right, now there's three beatitudes. This is setting the tone. The first one we looked at last week is about imitate. And that it says, I'm trying to understand all these things in my brain. All right? But not just from an intellectual perspective, but I want to experience. So it's, I'm investigating theological answers through experience. Now remember, it's not about the behavior. The behaviors are blessing and eating and listening. This is about setting the tone in our heart. Because Jesus knows that if we experience suffering like he does, we'll have a perspective like he does. He's made perfect by suffering. And so God has called us to that. And that is what imitation of Christ is about, doing the things he did, not so people can know about it, but so we can have a perspective of who God is, to be better to do the three behaviors of bless, eat, and listen. Everybody following and tracking with me? I know that was a lot to take on last week, so we want to propagate that forward. Today is the second beatitude, another way to frame our mind. Again, it's not about the behavior on this one. The behavior is irrelevant from the outside world. I want this to be something that allows your heart to be engaged with what God is doing through and with you. I want to start this. Lee Strobel's is a great story. We saw the movie recently. Fantastic story of how an atheist moves all the way to an apologist, where he is standing, defending the gospel, doing amazing things in the world. And it all started with a divine appointment. His child started to choke, and a nurse shows up at just the right moment and saves the child and says, I wasn't even supposed to be here, but God brought me. And that started a conversation that led to a conversion. A divine appointment. Let me ask you, who sets up divine appointments? Think about it. God, right? Is it not God's job to bring the universe together at just the right way, at just the right time, so that the stars announce his son's birth, and so that the Spirit convicts of sin the person who needs to know, and you walk in at that very moment, and boom, divine appointment. God's in charge of arranging that. So then what is our job in the divine appointment? That's what today's beatitude is about. Getting ourselves ready for the divine appointment. God is very interested in precision. If you notice in Acts 17, we've read this before, but it just is so powerful. God began by making one man. And from him, he made all the different people who live everywhere around the world. He decided exactly when and where they should live. See the precision that he orchestrated all this. And here's why he did it. God wanted people to look for him. And perhaps in searching for him, they would find him. Although he's not far from anybody. So it's like he's this father orchestrating all of this on earth exactly precisely so that we might find him. And so when God sets a divine appointment, our role is to be ready. Jared posted something this week on Facebook, the Mr. Rogers story. Anybody read that this week? It's kind of a series of tweets, I guess it was. A story of, I guess, kind of a reporter, best I can tell, meets Mr. Rogers in the elevator. And he just can't stand it. He's so excited. He says, Mr. Rogers, thank you. And Mr. Rogers says, are you one of my neighbors? He said, yes. He reaches out and gives him a hug. And I mean, just this moment, this kid has grown up, but he's back in his little body again in his mind. And it's just a sweet moment. And he connects with Mr. Rogers and he says, why don't you tell me what's going on? Why are you so upset? And he starts to share about his father dying and grandfather, I think it was. And Mr. Rogers shares a similar story and connects with him. And they just have a moment. And it's just this sweet, sensitive person. And it just reminds you of how wonderful Mr. Rogers is. He's the real deal. And he's powerful and unique. Well, there's a situation. One of the last words we have for Mr. Rogers before he passed was when he received the Lifetime Achievement Award. And I want you to watch what he says. Good, push play.
My honor to present you with this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, it's a beautiful night in this neighborhood. So many people have helped me to come to this night. Some of you are here. Some are far away. Some are even in heaven. All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think of the people who have helped you become who you are. Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of silence. I'll watch the time. Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. You know, they're the kind of people television does well to offer our world. Special thanks to my family and friends and to my co-workers in public broadcasting, family communications, and this academy for encouraging me, allowing me all these years to be your neighbor. May God be with you. Thank you very much.
What do you think of that? Powerful, right? One thing you cannot say about Mr. Rogers is that he was not prepared. He has a lifetime of wisdom, and he has one moment left. It's the one thing he wants you to take with you. It's the 60 seconds. It's no longer than an elevator talk where you just have that moment and the whole world is watching and they say, tell us something, Mr. Rogers. And he steps up there and he transforms the room. He talks about what he's thankful for and invites the whole room to join with him. I'll watch the time. That's powerful. What I want you to think about is, when he had his moment, Mr. Rogers was ready. and had something to say. This is part of the calling on our lives. It's not so much about the doing. Remember, it's about the being. It's the state of the heart that says, I am ready to speak when God provides the divine appointment. In the moment when it matters most, my mind and my heart is ready. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, those who are not following Jesus. Be wise. He says, make the most of every opportunity. The most of every opportunity. We have to be prepared. I remember once when I got to do some training as a young chaplain. I was a chaplain assistant and a chaplain and myself, and we were out studying and learning and learning anti-suicide. We were learning how to drive a Humvee. I was learning all kinds of stuff as a new chaplain. But there was something about this chaplain assistant that was off. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I assumed it was something silly, like he was not really super religious, and I kind of represented that as a chaplain, and it was a little weird, but he should be used to that by now. But I cycled it, and I just kind of put it out of my mind because he was my teacher, and I just kind of moved on. And I got back to my base, and 2 weeks later, I found out that he committed suicide. He got so overwhelmed with debt and gambling, he ran in front of a semi. And I remember thinking, I knew something was wrong, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't aware. I wasn't engaged. I missed a divine appointment. It kind of haunts me a little bit. It's heavy. Because I think, what if I would have, what would his wife would experience different and his children had I followed that opportunity? But somehow, it wasn't my place. It wasn't my role. It wasn't my opportunity. I just sensed something and thought, well, it's not my place, and I backed off of it. I wasn't ready emotionally. I wasn't engaged. So the divine moment came and went, and I missed it. I want to challenge us to be ready when moments come. See, our hearts will be ready only after we know our own story. This is important. Our hearts can only be ready for a divine appointment when we know our own story. If we can't look back and say, God met me here. 2003, this happened and God was there, and I love God because of that. If we don't have those moments, either A, we're not paying attention and we need to really dig deep, or B, we're not considering them powerful enough. We're not feeling them fresh and we're not ready. I want to challenge you to go back and think into your life. And this is an opening door to a new journey. And we're going to do a little bit in our Bible class next week to try to unpack this, okay? What has God done in your life that is miraculous? Where you look back and you realize that there was a fork in the road and you went the right way because of God's presence. The person he sent, the thing he said, the moment when you knew. That will help you be ready to share your story with someone who is equally traumatized looking for hope. You're expressing your life experience very abbreviatedly. This is an elevator talk. To offer reason. This comes from 1 Peter 3:15. Peter says this. Make sure that your hearts, in your hearts, that you honor Christ as Lord. Keep in mind, nothing matters if we don't look back and in our hearts say, I serve God because of what he did. My heart is moved by his love. I serve him. He is my Lord. It's the starting place of all of this. It's knowing our own story with God. So he says to make sure that in your hearts you honor Christ as Lord. But here's what you do when that happens. Always be ready to give an answer. Always be ready to anyone who asks you about the hope that you have. Be ready to give the reason for it. Do it gently and with respect. It's a whole other sermon series, okay? But what I want you to focus on is being ready. And what that looks like. I love the word he uses here. Be ready to give an answer. The word there is logos. This is the word translated word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Word, Logos, was with God and was God. And God sent him into the world and the Word, Logos, became flesh. That's what he's saying here. I want you to be ready to always be the Logos, to be the Word, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus wherever you're at. You got to be ready That's a state of the heart. It's a beatitude. It's more than a behavior. You're going to just bless and eat and listen. But you've got to come in with that perspective of, this might be the moment that I have something to say. And I only have 60 seconds to say what is most important in the world. Am I ready for that? And that is a call that is right out of Scripture, to be ready always. I mean, you don't got a 3-hour soliloquy. You don't have that. And that's why I'm using the term elevator. I heard a CEO person of AT&T say one time that you got to have your elevator talk ready. You got 60 seconds. Someone's going to ask you, and it's a response. Notice that in the text. When they ask you, how do you do this? Well, let me tell you, you got 60 seconds. If you can't speak to that, and there's several categories, we're going to look at that in a minute, that can help you with this. But I want us to be ready emotionally and mentally. It starts with getting in touch with your own story. What has God done in your experience? Peter should know, by the way. Remember when Jesus said to him, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that God would strengthen you. And when you turn back, oh, that's a harsh statement. When you turn back, it'll be good. Feed my sheep. Come back. Join us. Because you're going to turn away. And he calls him out in the moment. And Peter's like, no. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to stand for you. I'm going to die for you tonight. I'm ready to go to battle and death and beyond. And Jesus says, when the cock crows 3 times, you'll deny me. And sure enough, he goes out and he's around this fire. And the person says, hey, aren't you one of those Galileans? Aren't you the one that's hanging around with that Jesus guy? I recognize your accent. And he says, this is my moment. This is the time. I've got 60 seconds to stand up for all that matters in all of my eternity. This is my moment. And what does he say? I don't know the man. Foul, filth, blankety blank. I don't know him. The cock crows and he weeps bitterly because he was not ready. His heart was not there. As Jesus said when they were praying together a few hours before, he said, the spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. So pray. Filling ourselves with a sense of awareness of God is the only way to really be present and ready. God has called us to always be ready. Now, there's some mistakes that are made when we think about this. Number one mistake, I think, when we go down the right path of trying to be ready is we try to push God's will. Let's not do that. Let's wait on the Lord, okay? If you notice, one of my teachers used to say, don't pull an Ishmael. Remember the story of Abraham? God says, I'm going to give you a son. He's like, yes. Cricket. Okay, we'll just make it happen for God. And now we have Ishmael and Isaac, and there's problems to this day. He pulls an Ishmael. He jumps ahead of God. He pushes God's will instead of waiting on God to do it. I don't want us to interrupt. Remember, we always have an answer to those who what? Who ask. So don't go up to someone in the elevator and say, if you died tonight, would you know where you were going? Let's not do that. Right? You wouldn't want that. That's where the grace and mercy part of the last part of the verse. What I want you to think about, remember, we've been praying our armed bandits, right? Don't engage people. Wait for God to set the appointment. And when they show up and they say, man, this is so hard. I don't know how am I going to do this? There's a question. That's an invitation to talk. How do you do it? I notice you're this, that, and the other. Tell me about that. They might get real personal with you. You seem to have a great marriage. How do you do that? I don't know if I can survive this anymore. Why are they telling you this? They're opening a question. You're waiting for that. Then to gently step in and say, well, I'd love to share with you some things I've learned about that. Tell me. Now it's time. That's your moment. Don't push into it. Don't interrupt. You know what the number one sign of I'm not available is? When you go up and you're talking to someone and they're like this, and they put their earbuds in, right? They're saying, I don't have ears to hear. I don't have eyes to see. Remember, it's the Spirit's job to convict of sin and to do all the work. It's our job to just be ready. So we're looking, we're leaning in going, okay, they're not ready. And we keep praying and moving on. But when you lean in and they go, and they lift their eyebrow and they look at you again, and you sense there's an opening there. Now it's your time. I know you understand these concepts because you do it with everything else in life. I want you to start applying it to the most important thing in your life. Again, if it's not the most important thing in your life, then back to number one, what has God done in your life? Start there. If you don't have the miracles cited in your experience with God, go find them. They're there. But in the, above that, again, it's not about our activity. It's about our attitude. So don't get lost with that. I need to learn to do X, Y. Bless, eat, listen. That's our behavior. What I'm trying to get us to think about is why we're doing those things. What attitude do we have in it? Are we leaning in ready because we have these miracles God has done in our life and we want to share that at the right moment when God provides it or not? The other side is we do the opposite. We resist God's will. Remember Jonah? Jonah, I'm going to use you to do great things. Jonah says, ah, no, you're too nice and those guys need to burn. I'm going this way, away from Nineveh. And God just scoops him back, brings him, uses him anyways. But that's not the attitude we want. We don't want to resist God's will. When God opens a divine appointment and you feel that nudge and you think, I need to step. I don't think I'm going to do that. That's not my job. Just like I did with that chaplain assistant. It's not my job. I don't know. I'm here. I'm a learner. I'm a student. I'm not the, this is not me. This is not my opportunity. It's always your opportunity. If you're ready, God will provide that opportunity for you. And I want to challenge us. Don't resist God's will. Interruption is divine appointment in many cases. You guys remember the story of Jairus? Mark 5, I think it is. Yeah, Mark 5. When Jairus comes and he sees Jesus and he says, my daughter's sick. Would you come help me? And Jesus says, absolutely, let's go help your daughter. And he's walking, and then this lady comes up and grabs his hem of his garment because she's been bleeding, and power leaves him. She's healed. He turns around, interrupted, stopped. And he heals her, talks to her daughter, saved you, blah, blah, have a great day, love you, right? Turns back around, and Jairus says, my daughter's died. The pause, the interruption led to the death of his daughter. But here's the cool thing. If he'd have gone and healed her, his daughter, it would have been a healing of a body that was sick. But instead, what did he get to do is raise a little girl from the dead. Which is the cooler miracle? It was produced by an interruption. Do you see that correlation? When this man, Jairus, one day goes, Jesus did what? He raised from the dead? Do you think he's going to have a problem believing that one? He raised my daughter from the dead. Like that? Yeah, I believe he raised from the dead, and yes, I will put my faith in him. Versus, well, yeah, he did some voodoo and my daughter got better. He's a cool doctor. Very different things. Lord of heaven and earth, life and death, or great doctor, great physician. God provided an opportunity through an interruption to bring about a super miracle that was so amazing it trickled around the world and is in our Bible today. God will do the same thing for you. Just like Mr. Rogers, who's on his elevator, having the time of his life, on his way to a meeting, and someone steps forward, and what does he do? He just turns and says, In fact, I think he says at the end of that interview, sometimes you're right where you're supposed to be. As the guy apologizes for making Mr. Rogers late. He gets this. He is ready. How do we get ready? Let me suggest a couple things real quick. Acts 1:9 says that we are to be witnesses. Okay? Witnesses of what? Well, hopefully if you see God do something, you can witness it. But the best place to witness is what has God done in your life. If you know your story, that's where you start. That is your place of reference. What has God done in your life? And I think there are four big categories that you'll see him in your life, and equally you will see the need for him in other people's lives, and there's your bridge, all right? There's the four categories. Preoccupied, which means those people in the world who are just worried. Have you ever been worried? Have you ever been so concerned with, I've got to take this, and I've got to get this job, and I've got to take care of these things. If I don't, then my world's going to fall apart. And God is saying through Jesus and like Matthew 6, don't worry. Look at the birds. Look at the grass. Look at the flowers. They're more beautiful. They're more wonderful. They always have their food. Aren't you more important than them? Don't you think, as Lord of heaven and earth, I can take care of you even better? So don't worry about tomorrow. That's a powerful message. Have you experienced that in your life, where you were worried about money, and like from heaven, God brings the manna, and you're like, wow. And you have to look up. That's a miracle in your life. And someone is going to be worried and stressed. They're going to be preoccupied and spinning, and they're overwhelmed, and they're worried, and they don't know what to do. And you're going to meet them. They're going to say, how do you do it? And you're going to say, you know what? I don't know. God just shows up. Can I pray with you? Because I know when I was in this situation once upon a time, God showed up in this unbelievable way. And I think he'll do that for you too. He showed up through the church. He showed up through my family, my friends. It just came out of nowhere. You've heard these stories before. You've had them. Luke 9, there's this worry. Let me go and bury my people first, and then I'll come follow you, Jesus. People get caught off guard, and they're wanting to follow Jesus, but they're just so worried about life. Can I really trust him? If you've trusted him, then you know. And that's your point. Here's another one. The prodigal. These people feel guilty. They have thoughts like, I don't deserve forgiveness. I'm rebellious. I'm too far. God can't take me back. And we know the story of the prodigal son. God is waiting for him. Luke 15. But he says, give me mine. I want to take mine. And he runs off and he squanders it. And he wants to come back, but he's afraid and he's overwhelmed. Because he's just too bad. I'm guessing many of you, if not all of us, have been there. You've run away from God at such a level that you don't feel like you can come back. And yet here you are. God did something amazing in your life. And you can share that story. That's a direct correlation. A touch point. Another one is pain-filled. Whenever something happens that we lose a life, we lose our well-being, we lose our job, we lose our sense of awareness, a relative dies. When something happens that leaves us depleted and we feel hopeless, we feel helpless, we feel scared, and we feel like everything's going to go down and it's just going to keep going down. You're in the toilet bowl, going to the sewer, and there's no getting out of it. Have you felt that way before? Has God met you in that place before? I mean, we all have those stories. I mean, I could share a story from our time when we separated out of the military. We just didn't know where we were going, and God literally, I think physically, moved us and spoke to us and sent us to church in the Falls. It is just an amazing story. If I haven't shared it with you, you need to ask me. God showed up there. And I feel confident of that. And the passion will come out of me because I believe it. What has God done in your life? Where has he met you? Because someone is out there scared and they don't know what's coming next and they feel helpless and they're feeling hopeless and they just want to know that there's some hope. What is the reason for your hope is what they're asking. Jesus. Here's what he did. Pragmatic. These are the entitled ones. This is the older brother in the story of Luke 15. Well, God, you know, Father, I gave you all this time and you won't even give me mine. I gave you, you owe me. If and then. It's kind of an arrangement, a pragmatic kind of sense of, well, I'm better than everybody else. I'm not as bad as Hitler. You've met people like this, right? I do more good than I do bad, so God will let me into heaven. It's a mindset that's completely screwed up, completely off kilter. And it's like, how do you reach someone like that? How do you snap them into awareness? Well, look at your own life. When have you been entitled? Thinking you ought and deserve and should. And God went, and you went, oh. And you realize suddenly, oh, I'm a filthy rag, but God still loves me. And that's just crazy. Praise be to God. What have God done in your life like that? You got to find those stories. And you got to be ready. 60 seconds or less. 4 or 5 categories. We'll talk more about this next week in our Bible class. But I want you to start thinking about this. How do you get ready? Here's the cool thing. I said at the beginning, God is very interested in timing and focus and organization. Listen to this. In Romans 5, we need another time where God did something very precisely. The Bible says, at just the right time. You hear how powerful that is? At just the right time, the anointed one, Jesus, died for all of us who were far from God, powerless and weak. But think about it. While we were wasting our lives in sin, God revealed his powerful love to us in a tangible display. The anointed one, Jesus, died for us. While we were in the middle of our sin at just the right time. That's crazy. While we were in sin is just the right time. God understands that at our worst, his forgiveness has the most impact. Remember the story Jesus said about the lady who was washing his feet? He says, Simon, who loves more? The one forgiven more, the one forgiven less? I suppose the one forgiven more. You're right, Simon. This woman has been forgiven more. And so she loves more. There's power in that. And so at just the right time in your life, at just the right moment when you felt hopeless and helpless, at just the right moment, God showed up, died for you, and presented this amazing gift. If you're a Christian, you need to get in touch with that. If you're not a Christian, can I invite you to think about this? Jesus loves you so much that he died for you in your place. He took all the separation from God, all the retribution that you deserve for your choices, for all the things you feel guilty for. He stood before the Lord and said, I will take the guilt of that. Punish me instead. And he says, I want you to go free. I want you to walk with me. And let me show you how to live life in the most amazing, abundant, full way. Come and take my yoke. You will see that it is easy. It is light. You will find rest. You will find peace for your souls. Trust me. If you're not a Christian, maybe you're in one of these places where you're feeling the burn of life. The invitation is for you. God loves you so much. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to be baptized to say to the whole world, I am no longer mine. I want to make Jesus my Lord. I want to take him on forever. He is the one who brings me peace because he met me here in my stuff at just the right time. When your moment comes, are you going to be ready to say what needs to be said? And if your moment is about to come, are you ready to receive it? Wherever you're at today, reflect on these things. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we are just humbled by your greatness. We are so humbled by Jesus, who being in the very nature, the very core essence of who he is, God, did not consider that equality something to be grasped and hang on to, but he poured it out and poured himself into our very flesh to deal with all of our pain and all of our struggles so that he might understand us and to die for us. Lord, we praise you for Jesus. I thank you for the gospel and truly it is good news. Lord, I pray that your spirit would move among us, move us to remember this amazing work you've done in our lives. And Father, for those here who have not committed to you, Lord, I pray that you would meet them right now at just the right time. Tell their heart how much you love them. Remind them of what's most important. We praise you, Lord, and we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you need to respond today, please do. Let's stand and sing together.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side with love and strength. See, he will make a way.
dismissed with this blessing. May you be fully ready and waiting for God to bring about divine appointments into your life. May you identify where and when God met you in your own preoccupied, prodigal, pain-filled, pragmatic lives. May you shape and ready those stories for the sake of the kingdom. May you always be ready to express your life experience very abbreviatedly in order to offer a reason for the hope you have in you. God bless you.